Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh. Freedom!
Across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app, I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Million Dollar Giveaway Day, the 26th of January, 2023, the day we have all been waiting for. The computers are open and on, and you can now apply for your share of $1 million. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along with us on the Todd Albaugh Show on Civic Media, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. That's right. Right now, the computers are open. Your chance to win a share of $1 million in the advertising giveaway. How do you get it? First of all, you have to be a small business or a business in Wisconsin, based in Wisconsin, doing business here. That's basically the bottom line. If you're based in Wisconsin, you can apply for a grant, free money, up to $20,000. The minimum award is going to be $5,000. The biggest award is going to be $20,000 for your small business. What this means, as you apply, we're going to review these applications right now in real time. And as they come in, we're going to decide if you get $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. And then by next Monday, Tuesday, you'll be told whether you won. And if you were chosen, you're going to get free ads up to $5, $10, $15, $20,000 worth of free advertising. Free, F-R-E-E, free, gratis, no charge. They're going to play on the station that makes the most sense for your business across the Civic Media Network, all across the state of Wisconsin. You're going to have advertiser, professional sales advertisers will help you write these ads. If you don't want to voice them, no problem. We have people who will voice the ads. We'll make them professional. They'll sound fantastic. And they're going to play on the Civic Media station closest to you. Richland Center, Amory, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, DeCoussa, Madison, Columbus, Waukesha, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Appleton, now in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and more coming soon. We'll help you choose which station it goes on, and then we will play these out. And yes, after a month or so or 2 months, we'll come back and say, how did it go? What do you think? And if you want to buy more ads, we'd love that, but there's no obligation to. This is a chance for you to find out how powerful radio is. I have been in radio since I was 17 years old. I have run various political campaigns, state, local, federal, using radio. I know how effective radio can be because I've used it. I've seen the results. And what's really cool is when you write a cool radio ad, to the point where people will come up to you on the street and say, you know, I keep hearing this ad, I'm sick of it. When they say that, that's music to your ears because you know that they've got it in their head. I ran John Sharpless's 1998 congressional race in Southwest Wisconsin. People in Richland Center might remember that. Ran after Scott Klug retired.
And we at that point, it lives rent-free in their heads.
Exactly. And we had
free real estate.
It is free real estate. And this ad was about John raising chickens on his farm and how tough it was raising chickens. But raising those chickens taught him a lesson that you have to stick with it. You have to work hard. And that's the kind of congressman he would be. And we played that ad over and over, and people started coming up to it at parades and said, will you take that darn chicken ad off the air? I'm sick of it. We knew that it had gotten through to them. That's the power of radio. And that's what we're offering you today for free. So right now, go to civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia.us/million. To fill this form out.
And if you're watching on Facebook, let's just fill the form out right now. See, we've got the page right here. Application is open. First name, Aaron. Last name, Sommers. Title and or role, good dude. Good business dude. Name, Aaron's gerrymandering right. advisement firm.
Very good.
Business street address, 123 Sesame Street.
All right, that's a good street address. We're doing, just for those listening, we're doing this, we're telling you what this is in real time. So if you're listening to us, like, what are they doing? This is how simple it is. Aaron's taking you through this. The zip code, the state, now you put your business phone number in.
I'm doing 920-920-9201. All right. And business email.
Whatever that is.
Not real. Mail. Not going to add any domain. Business category. Got a few here. Let's see.
All kinds to choose from a business category.
I'm going to choose advertising public relations.
And fit one. If you don't see your specific business category, just choose one that's closest to you.
And business website, google.com.
And if you don't have a business website, just put none. That's okay.
Business size, one employee.
Very good.
Approximate revenue. And it gives up to 500,000, up to a million, up to 5 million, more than 5 million. I'm going to say more than 5 million.
Okay.
Advertising goals. And you should write something a little longer here, but I'm just going to write, make money. Are you a mission-driven organization?
Just to say something quick, Aaron, when it says advertising goals, put like basically what you hope to get from the advertising, what you want to happen due to the radio sales. Go ahead.
Right. And then after that, are you a mission-driven organization? If you click...
Put yes.
Yeah, put yes. And then where'd you hear about it? And then third on the list is the Todd Allbaugh Show, which is the correct answer.
Yes, there's only one correct answer. How did you hear about this promotion? The Todd Allbaugh Show.
And
they will
it?
Actually give you more money if you put Todd Allbaugh Show.
That's not true.
But wouldn't it be fabulous if it was?
It would.
Yeah. And like if we had like keychains or something, I could say, well, I'll give a keychain out to everybody that we don't have any. But all right, there you go. We'll come back with more after this. Stay with us. We've got the editors, the Valley Sentinel. Stay with us on the Todd Allbaugh Show. Go now at civicmedia.us/million. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show. Time is now 9:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the middle of it, folks. We are right now, the lines are open. It's actually the computer lines, I guess you're open. This reminds me of, we used to have the telethon down at UW-Platteville where we raised money for Wisconsin Badger Camp. And we have a big telethon every year. I got to be a host of that. I was kind of banished from the program after a couple of, because I was too enthusiastic and I wouldn't stay on script. But we raised a lot of money during my segment. But anyway, we have a giveaway today. Reminds me a lot of telethon. Only this is for you as a small business owner. Right now, go to civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia.us/million. There is no catch to it. There's no joke. We're giving away up to $1 million of ad revenue. If you are a small business located in Wisconsin, you are eligible. Go to civicmedia.us/million. Fill out the short form. And by the way, tell them you heard it on the Todd Allbaugh Show. We'd appreciate that. I got a 6-pack of Wisconsin craft beer on the line with our folks that host the Dueling Tangents, Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly. And Aaron and I want that 6-pack. So say you heard it on the Todd Allbaugh Show, and then you're going to be eligible. The smallest amount of money we're giving away is $5,000. You know what you could do with $5,000 in radio advertising for a small business? It's fantastic. So do it right now, because once this money is gone, it's gone. They're going to review these in real time, and we have a lot of them coming in right now. I can see on the line, we have people, it's almost a steady stream right now of people doing these applications. Make sure you get yours in at civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia.
$1 million.
$1 million. You can't win the whole million, but you can win up to 20,000 of it. civicmedia.us/million. A great small business. Actually, these guys could be eligible. You guys better do this after the show. We're going to a great small business right now, the Valley Sentinel. It is a fantastic newer newspaper and publication, and we are honored to have the co-founders and editors of the Valley Sentinel with us this morning. We have Nicole Imony and Taylor Scott with us this morning. Nicole, did I get the last name right? Imony, is that
correct?
It
was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
We've been practicing. Welcome, folks. We really appreciate you being on the program this morning. In all seriousness, after we get done, you guys are eligible. So $5,000 at least to get people to know a little bit more about the Valley Sentinel. Tell us, first of all, I guess just a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, and how you got involved in this project. Nicole, let's start with you.
Sure. So I'm Nicole. I am a co-founder and editor-in-chief of Valley Sentinel. I came from kind of a traditional journalism background. I went to journalism school at UW-Whitewater. I originally came from Illinois. I know that's kind of a bad word around here, but Wisconsin captured my heart and I have never left since graduating. So I worked at some newspapers covering county and local government up near Baraboo for a while. And now I work in media relations as a day job and also co-own Valley Sentinel.
Fantastic. And Taylor?
Yeah. Let's see. So yeah, my background is a little bit less traditional. I was a pre-law political science path at UW-Milwaukee. Originally from the Richland Center area. I grew up in Richland Center, born Richland Center, moved in the fourth grade. Lots of my family is still in the area. But went to UW-Milwaukee, pre-law political science. And I just kind of fell into journalism. My first job after college was working in advertising, actually, for the Chippewa Herald up in Chippewa Falls. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was the managing editor of the Courier Sentinel up in Cornell. So another newspaper in Chippewa. I came back down to be closer to my family back in the area. And I was looking around and I was looking at, what we had here. And I thought, well, you know what, why don't we give it a go? And this was before the pandemic. I met Nicole and we had about a year of, maybe we should start a newspaper. back and forth. That would be kind of crazy. And then about 6 months out, we got kind of serious, started planning. And then we kind of had like a 4 month sprint of buildup where we were trying to figure out what do we want it to look like? How can we do it better than, corporate media right now? What do we have to offer? And Nicole at the time was working in corporate media. I know, bad word, but corporate media. And we just thought, well, let's see if we can do it better. And so it ended up being, right as kind of the pandemic was getting at its worst, October 2020.
Wow.
It was our first edition. So like you're talking like right as things were ramping into the holidays there. And we just decided, let's just go for it. Let's start a newspaper. This is a time when, people are feeling so isolated. Let's find a way to bring people together and build community.
I think it's a great story. I think both of you bring this fantastic, diverse background with you. I actually think it's healthy and good that you have been other places and done other things and you didn't live your entire life in Southwest Wisconsin, because I think that enriches your experience, what you bring to the table, but you both have that background as well. And speaking of background, and the auspices of full disclosure, Taylor and I have a link. His is much more personal than mine, but his grandfather, Otis Scott, was my fifth grade teacher. And honest to God, if it had not been for your grandpa, I don't know whether I would be doing what I did today, because I was born with a speech impediment, with a cleft palate. I wasn't a great speaker. And your grandfather at the time was my fifth grade teacher, and he did two things for me. One, he told me I should enter the conservation and soil speaking contest, and I thought this is a terrible idea, but I did it anyway at your grandpa's urging, and I ended up getting third place in this thing. I got a trophy, and I thought that was fantastic, and it gave me a lot of confidence to go on and end up being on the radio, which nobody would have ever guessed at that point in my life. Number two, this is back in 1980. He divided the class into Republicans. He said, you can either choose or I'll divide you up. And we had to make bulletin boards. There's no internet at the time. You had to make a bulletin board for Republican or Democrat. So I said, well, my grandfather was on my dad's side, was kind of Republican. So I said, I'll be Republican. So I ended up doing that. And that launched I got to meet people, the local county party chair, Carol Clausius, and others. And it inspired me to go into politics. As it turned out, 30, 40 years later, it was the wrong side, and I left that party. But in any event, if it had not been for your grandpa, I would never be in broadcasting, and I would have never gotten into politics. So just I understand he's still farming, still doing beef farming?
Yep, 85, still doing his thing up in Rock Ridge, still beef cattle farming. you know, just strongest man I know. I mean, sincerely, you know, he's climbing under fences still and running hoses still. And yeah, it's wonderful to be out there. I wish I got out there more. I blame the paper, but he gets the paper, so maybe he'll forgive us. But I mean, in the same vein, I do want to say you probably don't even remember, Todd, the last time we saw each other in person.
I don't. I'll confess.
So it was the summer of 2011. Big things were happening in our state. You know, obviously it was right after the budget repair bill, right. And there were still ongoing protests and such. And I was working in Senator Tim Cullen's office.
Oh, okay.
And you yourself, as chief of staff to Dale Schultz, and Dale Schultz, former senator, would come in and would speak with Senator Cullen, and who was, I should say, it was a Democrat, and obviously right. Schultz yeah. was a Republican. And one time, I think I was heading to go get coffee or something. I stood up, and you and Dale came in. And you stopped, you looked at me, you looked me up and down and said, Otis Scott's grandson, right? And I said, yep. And he said, that's great. And then you and Dale went into to Senator Collins' office.
It's been a while, but they're both great guys. As you know, both Dale and Senator Cullen, great guys. I know I learned a lot from Dale and Tim, and great that you had that experience as well. No, I'd forgotten that. So, well, Nicole, we'll quit reminiscing here in days past, but I appreciate those memories because, again, it's our experiences, right, that bring us to the table. Nicole, talk to us a minute about we got about 4 minutes in this segment, and we'll come back and continue on the other side of our break. But talk about, this is a unique publication because it's people have to pay for it, right? I mean, they can subscribe if they want, sure. But it's also available for free. How is this a self-sustainable model?
Sure. And Taylor, you can feel free to jump in because I think this is really your passion area. I kind of learned from him as we went, coming from that traditional newspaper background. But when we started Valley Sentinel, we were very passionate about doing things different, better than what we had come up in the journalism industry. And one of the things that we saw is people saying, well, I don't want to subscribe. Like that's, you know, I don't want to pay money. I don't want to do that. And we are both very passionate about news being a vital part of society and educated public and all of that. So we wanted to make sure that we were reaching our readers wherever they needed to be reached. And we were incredibly accessible. And for us, that meant not forcing somebody to subscribe or pay, you know, $2 to pick us up. If, you know, you never know what someone's financial situation is. They may not have that, but they still absolutely deserve to read the news in their community. So I think for us, that was just a really important aspect of just having that accessibility for everyone. I might let Taylor speak to the sustainability of it because he has all of the ideas on that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm just along for the ride a lot of the time.
No, go ahead. We got about 2 minutes before the break, Taylor.
Yeah, well, and we can always continue after yep. the break, of course. But I should say even, you know, we even considered, you know, because we were very, you know, we very strongly knew right from the beginning that we wanted to be a free single copy publication. You can go out in the community and you can pick up a copy no matter what. There is no financial ability should stop you from being able to read the news. But we decided to offer a subscription because we were in the middle of the pandemic. We were isolated. People were quarantining. And we thought, well, you know, we want to be able to give an option for people that, you know, want to have it delivered to their homes, want to have it mailed to them or home delivery, and don't want to have to go out in the grocery store or the gas station and be able to, you know, expose themselves or have to expose themselves. We really, truly wanted to build a model that was accessible.
So is it online only, or is it paper only, or, you know, physical, or is it both?
It's all of the above. We from the very beginning, we decided that we wanted to reach people on all of the mediums that they want to be reached on or expect to see news on. And we're building that up every day. But yeah, there's 1,000 copy print publication, and we have an online e-edition. We have a website that we are not great at updating all the time because it takes a lot of time.
It does. Believe me, I know that.
But yes.
So We've talked a couple of times to the editor of the Amory Free Press up in Amory, April up there. And when we come back, I want both of your thoughts on local journalism. And this is what I think is fantastic about what you guys are doing at the Valley Sentinel, to actually have real reporters talking about real news in the community, because we just don't have a lot of that anymore. And I think it's fantastic. I mean, so many papers are going out of business, that model. Now we have you guys' paper that's actually a new one and starting. So let's talk about local news, local papers, and we'll also talk about this outstanding editorial on the UW-Richland campus. Stay with us. We have the editors and co-founders of the Valley Sentinel with us. You're listening to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sing a song, make a friend, can't we all get along?
Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. 9:33 off the playlist of Taylor Scott. Taylor, tell us what that is.
Oh, it's Uprising by Muse.
Very good.
I felt inspired by it today. Yeah, maybe we can all work together. Who knows?
we need a little uprising now and again. It is Taylor Scott and also Nicole Imani from the Valley Sentinel, the co-editors and co-founders of this fine paper. Before we get back into that, just a quick reminder for all of our listening audience this morning. Today is the day, folks. We are into the middle of it. You know it's a big day when our CEO, Sage Weil, is out in the hallway when I went to get a drink of water. He is overseeing this, and he says lots of people are already signing up. So that's fantastic news. Don't miss your chance to get a part of the $1 million giveaway going on right now. Get on your computer. Go to civicmedia.us. That's C-I-V-I-C media. All one word, civicmedia.us/million. And we are giving away increments of $5,000 to $20,000 if you're a small business in free advertising to promote your small business. And all you have to do is fill out a short form, your name, address, contact number, basically what's your goal to get your message out with the money, and let us and then click send. The important thing, tell them you heard it on the Todd Allbull Show. There's a drop-down menu, and we would appreciate it if you would say you heard it on the Todd Allbull Show, because the host of Dueling Tangents, the co-host Luke Mathers, and I have a six-pack on the line. Who could get the most hits? So help Aaron and I out with a little drink. We'd appreciate if you say Todd Allbull Show, but the important thing is to go to civicmedia.us/million right now. The website is open for you to apply for your chance for free advertising dollars. Dollars are oftentimes what is the impediment of trying to start up a business, let alone a small paper. So talk to us, Taylor and Nicole, about the Valley Sentinel and again, kind of how this thing all started and the funding mechanism and the sustainability of it.
Sure. Yeah. And Nicole's better at telling the kind of the joke that goes along with it, but
we love jokes.
I should say too. I mean, we are, you know, we're not just the editors, co-founders. Obviously, we have a lot of help as well, but we are also the sole co-owners of Valley Sentinel. We're not owned by a hedge fund. We're not owned by a large media group. It's Nicole and I. And we literally we decided that we wanted to do this. And I know it's bad. I hope you don't have your financial advisor on the line. I liquidated what little retirement I had from my corporate media job. Mm-hmm. And Nicole literally cashed in her savings bonds from when she was a baby. Wow. And we started Valley Sentinel with less than $5,000.
Wow. Amazing, guys. That's awesome. I mean, that's truly is the small business entrepreneurial story, right? Of following your passion. And that's one thing that I've learned. I mean, I'm 53 now and you know, I'm back in radio and it's one of my passions. And I think, you know, my friend Phil Nee, you know, Phil Nee, WRCO, who's known me for 36 years. And when I was considering getting back into this, doing this, he said, well, Todd, radio was your first love and you never forget your first love, right? And so, you know, I look at the Valley Sentinel and I read it and I talk to you guys, I can see it, I can feel the passion. And I think that certainly comes out in your writing and about the product you're putting out.
Yeah, and I what I like to tell people is, I mean, because we've done so much growing and changing since, you know, October 2020. Mm. I think some of our formatting has changed. I think our offerings have certainly changed and expanded. But what I like to tell people is, if you look at any business or anything you're trying to achieve and you break it up into, you know, three big phases, mm. I still view us at like 15 to 25% of like phase one of wow. what we want to offer and how we want to build community. And I'm sure that there are people out there that, you know, oh, well, you should do this, you should do that. And I should say we're heartened by, I mean, we get emails, letters, Valentine's cards, as I'm surrounded in our newsroom here, like every week from readers that just tell us what it means to them. But we feel like we have so much more that we hope to do with it. And like I said, before the break, we want to reach people on every medium that they want to be reached with news. Mm. That's really important to us. Because, you know, we can't all get our news from Facebook. And we talked
about goodness,
how,
thank goodness. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Not that we don't use Facebook, but you know, we talked about sustainability and being, you know, a small town newspaper. And I think a lot of people don't understand that most of their community newspapers are not what you would say independently owned. They're not owned by, you know, one or two people. They're part of a larger media group, or they're part of a, you know, a hedge fund, or, you know, a national group. And you look at the industry as a whole, and there's a lot of change that's happening in the industry. A lot of small independent newspapers, the Isthmus in Madison is one of them, mm. Are switching to a nonprofit model. Mm. It's something that we're looking at with interest. Not to say that we make a profit, but we are a for-profit LLC. But the nonprofit model has limitations. You can't be overtly political. You can't endorse a political candidate. Mm. And when people ask us what side of the spectrum we're on, you know, we tell them, well, we've certainly ticked off people on both sides, so we must be doing something right.
Exactly.
But we stand for common sense is what we like to say. You know, we stand for common sense. If something has a local compelling community interest, that's what we stand for. And if there is a cause or a candidate that has that compelling local community interest, we want to, as an editorial board, as a paper, completely separate from our journalism that's impartial, we want to be able to put it out there for discussion or consideration for the community.
I think there's a lot of synergy between what you guys are doing and what we are doing here at Civic Media. I mean, our owners, Sage Weil and Mike Crute, it's the same thing. I mean, we truly want, I mean, our motto on this show is pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. And you know, as it turns out in these times, in our opinion or in my opinion, oftentimes the truth kind of ends up being more on the progressive or Democratic side these days. But hey, we call out both sides. I mean, I'm a former Republican. You know, we talked about Rob Cole, state senator from Green Bay area, doing some things right on the audit committee. So I will give props to Republicans when they're due, and we'll call out Democrats when it's due as well. But basically when I was hired, I mean, Sage Weil, our CEO, I said, what do you expect? He said, tell the truth and do it with integrity. I said, that's it? He goes, yep. And I said, oh, well, I can do that. So I mean, that's really our guide post. I hear the same thing with you guys as well. So, Nicole, tell us the story that Taylor was alluding to here. What was he talking about? A startup or the startup story? Or what's up with that?
Yeah, it's not crazy. But, you know, he talked about how we started Valley Sentinel with $5,000, actually a little less. And I always kind of joke, $5,000, a 2015 MacBook Air that huff and puffs its way through even opening a web browser. And we quite literally built the desk that we work at before we started Valley Sentinel. We were at Menards in the lumberyard buying the wood, the nails and the screws and all the tools to go along with it before we started Valley Sentinel. That was kind of, we knew we needed a workspace, and we decided to go big or go home and build ourselves a massive person desk.
It's 8 feet long. It's big.
It is. It's huge.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I too have a 2015 MacBook Pro right here that I do my show on. not a lot of time. So
you understand.
You can do a lot with a 2015 MacBook Pro.
You can. It was my high school graduation gift to get me through college, and it has served me very well.
Oh my gosh, I love it. But that's what I think is so great about the story of you two is this truly is just a grounds up grassroots thing that you're just putting your heart and soul into. So Nicole, what you said you were in another kind of corporate job as well. How does that compare to partnering up with Taylor on this project? I mean, are there benefits to being with a large corporation when you're just doing it yourselves? But is there a certain freedom involved when you're away from that?
I think freedom, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of freedom doing this kind of yourself. And, you know, you have perks when you're the editor and the co-owner and the founder, and you kind of get to make the decisions. Of course, that freedom comes with that. But we really get to do things however we feel is right. We get to write the stories in the way that we want, even if it's not necessarily always that traditional journalism style. Which I think is really interesting. We try to stay as true to, you know, AP style and things as possible. But we break away from that when it makes sense and when it can maybe be a creative asset. And so I've really enjoyed that, just kind of being able to break that mold a little bit. Working in corporate journalism is it can kind of feel like you're just in a box and you're not really allowed to step outside of that. You know, there's certain things that have just never been done. Mm-hmm. And so we just don't do it. And I think one of the things that we're very passionate about at Valley Sentinel is like, well, why not do that? Why can't we? Just because it's never been done in the journalism industry. Well, you know, maybe the journalism industry needs a little bit of a shakeup, needs a little change. And a little bit of freedom with its journalists. And I think a lot of people I know in the corporate journalism world often kind of feel the same way. We all love it, of course. But that freedom is just, you can't match that.
Talk to us a little bit, both of you, if you would, please, just about a minute each here, about your feelings about the local journalism today. Because like I said before the break, the world is changing, right? I mean, we are an independently owned corporation or company here, Civic Media. We don't have, it's not Sinclair, it's not, you know, iHeart, it's not any of these big conglomerates, like you're saying. We're unique in that we are a Wisconsin company owned by just two people, and we are independent to say those same things on the radio. Talk to us about newspapers. First Taylor, then Nicole.
Sure, yeah. No, I think once you look past the narrative of, you know, news is dying or needing to change, newspapers are dying and needing to change, and you look at it, I think our news hygiene, how we, you know, take in news, how we read news, how we engage with it, probably needs to change. And I think that we've already started seeing it, but I think you're going to see a lot more publications like us out there that are not owned by hedge funds. You know, we talked about I saw a big stat yesterday, actually. You know, the revenue has gone down 60% in the last 15 years for newspapers to $20 billion annually. Wow. Any other industry that made $20 billion would be a lucrative industry.
Right.
But that's why you have hedge funds coming in, buying up the small town newspapers. They are selling off the presses. They are selling off the beautiful downtown newspaper offices to benefit their shareholders. I mean, that's what's happening to local news, is it's literally being sold off for parts when really, truly, I believe it can still be thriving, not just barely surviving.
Nicole, do you see a hunger out there for readers, for people wanting true independent journalism like that?
I think I do. I think I do, especially, you know, as newsrooms all over, you know, the state and the country are kind of stripped of their resources and have, you know, maybe one dedicated journalist covering multiple communities. That's just not enough. Mm-hmm. And I think people are really starting to realize that and see that reflected in the news that they're reading from papers that are kind of owned by these big corporations or these hedge funds that just have stripped them down. So I think a lot of people are turning to alternate sources of news, alternate newspapers, just alternate avenues to get the same local news, just in a different way, in a way that just resonates with them a little bit more.
One of the things that I'm excited about being part of Civic Media is because we're independent and we don't have that pressure, like I know a lot of people I know, friends that worked at the State Capitol Bureau, they were under increasing pressure every day, not just one deadline for one story, but they had to publish multiple stories online, plus have a deadline for the print. I mean, it was just about volume, right? And one of the things here at Civic is just getting the word out and doing long form. We were at the campus for 3 hours here back last fall. And one of the things that you guys have done fantastically, and I have it in front of me, is this editorial on UW-Richland and the proposed closure there. And you guys knocked it out of the park. And I think that Independent had to lead, right or wrong, to be able to do that, right? Not being a part of a corporation, was able, that freed you up, yes or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm sorry to ask a one-word answer there, but we're gonna come. we have to hit this hard break here across the network. We're gonna come back and talk to both Taylor and Nicole, the co-editors and founders of the Valley Sentinel, about their fantastic editorial that got picked up statewide. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allbowl Show on Million Dollar Giveaway Day on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show. Time is now 9:50 on the 26th of January. It's a Thursday. It's the day, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, go to your computers. If you own a small business in Wisconsin, go to your computers right now. We are giving away $1 million in ads. No joke. I'm serious about this. Go to civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia, C-I-V-I-C, media, all one word, civicmedia.us/million. MILLION, civicmedia.us/million. We're giving away $1 million in ad revenue. So your chance to have free advertising on the Civic Media Radio Network. They're going to be reviewed in real time. So go there now and tell them when it says, where did you hear about it? Say the Todd Allbowl Show. That's all we want you to do. Say the Todd Allbowl Show and they will take care of you. And, being told that we have all kinds of applications come in right now, that $1 million is going down, so get to it right now. It's a $1 million read in the Valley Sentinel. If you haven't seen it yet, go online at the Valley Sentinel, as we have the co-editors and the co-founders of the Valley Sentinel, Nicole Imony and Taylor Scott, with us this morning. You guys, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know a lot about it until I saw this and I heard about this this editorial. I think it's kind of put you on the map because it was also picked up in part by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and a lot more people saw it that way. What this editorial does, and we don't have time to go through the entire thing, unfortunately, right now, but it deals with this proposed closing of the UW-Richland campus. And the president of the system, Jay Rothman, saying last November that they're going to suspend academic classes, for all intent and purposes, closing it. And there's a great group at Richland Center called the Friends of the Campus, County Board Chair Marty Brewer and Vice Board Chair Sean Murphy Lopez. Sean Murphy Lopez, in particular, has been great about activating the community. But here's the thing. In this editorial, in my opinion, is a wake-up call to the community, to the county board. Here's the line that really got me. Moreover, the 1966 agreement specifically lays out that the UW system's obligation to maintain the campus and to provide adequate instructional and administrative staff. The only way the agreement can be terminated is in June of any given year if, one, the legislature fundamentally changes how the branch campus operates, two, if the legislature doesn't provide adequate funding. If you notice, the series missed an or there, and you're not alone. The agreement is missing any sort of a conjunction that would indicate whether either or both conditions must apply. You go on and make the argument so very well that what needs the clock is ticking. That they're looking, that system is looking for a June 30th deadline, and unless there is a lawsuit brought in the courts where an injunction can be had to say, wait a minute, time out, until we get this situated, you need to stop this, the campus and the community is going to be screwed, and they need to file a lawsuit in this. Taylor first, and then Nicole, how did this come about, and what's your main message here? Have I got it right, or am I off on that?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're looking at. I have some experience with UW System. When I was at UW Milwaukee, I sued UW Milwaukee and the UW System in a case that was just recently settled because they were basically bullying the little guy. They were bullying the representatives of the students and trying to overrule them. So I have that experience with them, as does our legal editor, who's a practicing attorney. We've seen what they can do if they want to do something, and how you know, the little guy isn't necessarily going to stop them. So what we looked at is, you know, really there is that June of any given year out, or at least an out or a loophole that we maybe believe in. I should say, you know, I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on the radio. We have an attorney on our editorial board, but just from my experience with the UW System, they're looking at that June of any given year. And I think they're not concentrating on whether there's a comma, an and, or an or there between those conditions. I think they're saying, well, you know what? If the line item's not there, then we're just going to stop in-person instruction. And I think really our argument was, not only is that just in stopping in-person instruction a constructive closure of the campus, but also when you look at the data, when you look at kind of the mismanagement, the merger, the elimination of the recruiting position, the moving the international students to UW-Platteville rather than UW-Richland, and just the funding having been cut, this looks less and less like, oh, well, you know, we tried everything we could, as some elected officials want to say. And more like this was a long planned constructive closure that is currently happening here. And what we're thinking is they really have no intent to maintain a presence on the campus, despite what they're saying. They are just trying to hold everyone off and placate them until June, when they feel like they can get out of the agreement.
Nicole, what I get out of this as well is you guys ran into roadblocks getting answers here. It seems like there's just a huge lack of transparency on the part of not only UW-Platteville, but also on the part of System here. Nobody wants to talk to you guys about this. Nobody wants to come forth. What's your takeaway, Nicole?
Yeah, I kind of always make this joke that if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't be afraid to talk to a reporter. So I think it truly, the silence speaks for itself, in my opinion. They just kind of jumped the gun on this a little bit, and they don't necessarily have the full plan, or maybe they weren't expecting this much fallout from the community and across the state, really. And I'm wondering if maybe they just weren't prepared from it, maybe from, you know, that media relations aspect, but also just on what they were going to do if there was pushback. I think they were kind of thinking, we're the UW System. People are just going to lay down and take this. And right. I'm kind of happy to see that the community hasn't done that.
The System and Platteville never expected the Valley Sentinel. That's what happened. I mean, seriously, you guys have done a remarkable job. And having been on the other side of this in politics a long time, I think you're absolutely right. They're ticked off and they're irritated that people like you guys are informed and informing others. And this is the greatest public service that I've seen of us, any news organization in Southwest Wisconsin in a heck of a long time. So my hats are off to you, and I appreciate what you're doing, because this is a wake-up call. Let's before time runs out, if people want to read more on the Valley Sentinel, give people how they can find you.
Sure. ValleySentinelNews.com, or Nicole doesn't like it, but we also have the URL ValleySentinel.news.
Okay.
and if the community Whoever is works. Looking for a roadmap, I hope the editorial provides one, and I hope it's a good read for the entire greater community.
You're also on Twitter, I know, because I follow you guys. So what is it, VS underscore, or what is it?
Yep, Wisconsin. VS underscore Wisconsin.
All right, VS.
That's on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, cool. And are you on Facebook or no?
Yep, we're on Facebook. We're also on Reddit. You can reach us anywhere.
Ooh, you guys are fancy. I love it. We appreciate you, Taylor Scott and Nicole Imony, co-editors, co-founders of the Valley Sentinel, a great publication. We're going to have you back. Thank you very much for joining us, you guys.
Thank you so much.
For having us.
Our pleasure. Go, folks. Read it. Valley Sentinel. We appreciate them. Appreciate you. Back with more after this. We're going to talk more about the $1 million giveaway next hour. Go to civicmedia.us/million right now. Say you heard it on the Todd Allball Show. Back